Blog Talk Radio.
Your place, love connection. Your place of prayer, love, acceptance, compassion, and empowerment. Here's your host, Dr. Susie.
Welcome, welcome to Your Place Love Connection Bible Study, your place of prayer, love, acceptance, compassion, and empowerment. We're so glad to have you with us tonight, as we do every Tuesday from 7 to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Would you now join us with our devotion? We'll have a song from Mark Bryant. The scripture will be read by Lester Carver. That scripture will be Luke 4, 14 through 20. We'll have a prayer by Dr. James Nook. Thank you.
Good evening, everyone. Thank you for joining Your Place Christian Church, where God is exalted and the word is explained. We're so happy that you've taken time out of your busy schedules to join us all across the United States and across the world. We thank you for taking that time to identify with us, recognizing that Jesus is Lord. Today we'll be singing Mary, Did You Know? And afterwards we'll have scripture and then prayer.
Mary, did you know that your baby boy will one day walk on water? Mary, did you know that your baby boy will save our sons and daughters? Did you know that your baby boy has come to make you new? This child that you delivered will soon deliver you. Mary, did you know that your baby boy will give sight to a blind man? Mary, did you know that your baby boy will calm a storm with his hand? Did you know that your baby boy has walked where angels trod? And when you kiss your little baby, you've kissed the face of God. Mary, did you know the blind will see, the deaf will hear, and the dead will live again? The lame will leap, the dumb will speak, the praises of the Lamb. Mary, did you know that your baby boy is Lord of all creation? Mary, did you know that your baby boy will one day rule the nations? Did you know that your baby boy is heaven's perfect lamb? This sleeping child you're holding, he is a great I Am. Mary, did you know? Mary, did you know? Mary, did you know?
Scripture reading is going to be from Luke chapter 4, verses 14 through 21. It says, Jesus returned to Galilee, powerful in the Spirit. News that he was back spread through the countryside. He taught in their meeting places. To everyone's acclaim and pleasure, he came to Nazareth, where he had been reared. As he always did on the Sabbath, he went to the meeting place. When he stood up to read, he was handed the scroll of the prophet Isaiah. Unrolling the scroll, he found the place where it is written, God's Spirit is on me. He's chosen me to preach the message of good news to the poor, sent me to announce pardon to prisoners and recovery of sight to the blind, to set the burdened and battered free, to announce this is the year to act. This is God's year to act. He rolled up the scroll, handed it back to the assistant, and sat down. Every eye in the place was on him, intent. Then he started in. You just heard the scripture make history. It came true just now in this place. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word.
Let us pray. God, we thank you for this day, opportunity, this word that you've given us. We thank you for your son. We ask you to bless us, strengthen us, lead and guide us as we study your word. So we would understand better what it means when you love, what it means to receive your love. Help us then to share that love with us, that they might see you through us. God, we need your strength. Ours runs out, but yours does not. Help us in this Bible study, and as we go throughout our life, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. We're just so thankful to Mark Bryant, Mr. Carver, as well as Dr. Nuss for such a wonderful devotion. We are asking, as we do a little bit of studio etiquette, that if you have your phone on a speakerphone, that you would turn it off. It distorts the studio sound. And if, when talking, you would put your phone on mute until you are able or ready to speak. And at that time, don't forget to put it back on, take it off, because we won't be able to hear you. But to at least acknowledge who you are by saying, this is Dr. Susie, for example, and then beginning your conversation. We're so excited to have all of you in the studio today. And to those of you out there in radio world, we want you to know that we're excited, again, to be able to bring to you the word. As Mark always says, where the word is explained. And we often come because we want to talk about the Word of God. We want there to be a place where people can go to dialogue about their perspectives. And as a result, we will have a variety of people who have different opinions. So whenever you come, be willing to be stretched, as we will not always agree, but we will come to the table to part the Word and to study. We ask God to be with us through this time, and we now would like to turn it over to our instructor. Tonight, the instructor is going to be Mark Bryant. Throughout the month of December, we have discussed Advent and talked about Advent. What Advent is how are we expecting and looking forward to the Christ child. We're so excited because in a couple of days, we will be reenacting and remembering that in our minds. As we continue to look forward to not just today, but every day to our Lord's return. And so we're excited as we have looked at the Advent things of hope. During the first week of December, the second week we looked at peace, the third week we looked at joy, and tonight on December the 22nd we will be looking at love. The passages, for those of you who are interested in doing further study, we're looking at Luke 4, 14 through 20, as well as John 3, 16 through 21, Romans 8, 18 through 30, 2 Corinthians 5, 1 through 10, Matthew 24, 37, 44, John 14, 15 through 21, and the final passage, Revelations 21, 1 through 5. So as we go further into the lesson, Mr. Mark Bryant, if you're ready, let's go.
Good evening, everyone, again across the United States and across the world. We thank you for coming and joining us at Your Place Christian Church. We'll be speaking today's topic will be love. And as Pastor Carver read about in Luke 14, 14 through 20, as he talked about how Jesus was rejected at Nazareth, and if Pastor Carver could read the 18th verse again, and we'll kind of speak about that verse and how it pertains to the love of Jesus.
the 18th verse. Is it okay if we read from 16 to 21?
Absolutely.
Okay. He came to Nazareth, where he had been reared. As he always did on the Sabbath, he went to the meeting place. When he stood up to read, he was handed the scroll of the prophet Isaiah. Unrolling the scroll, he found the place where it is written, God's Spirit is on me. He's chosen me to preach the message of good news to the poor, sent me to announce pardon to prisoners and recovery of sight to the blind, to set the burdened and battered free, to announce this is God's year to act.
From what you've read, give me your insight on the love of Jesus that he represents in the scriptures.
Well, I'll tell you. From what I can see here, it's become clear that he understands his purpose. And he knows that God anointed him and placed his Spirit upon him and chose him to preach the good news to the poor. He sent his son Jesus Christ to announce pardon to prisoners and recovery of sight to the blind, and to announce to the burdened and the battered that they're free, and that this is God's year to act. So the love of God is manifest in that he sent his son, and now he is announcing and proclaiming, now is the time.
Do you think that we still have that directive today? Some have said that that the blind can't be healed, and that we no longer speak of having freedom of prisoners or proclaiming the good news to the poor. Some people have said that was in the past, and now those things are gone. Is that directive still true today?
Actually, if you look at what it says in 1 Corinthians 12:7, what you see is that God says that he has given us the power of the Holy Spirit so that we can do the work that Christ did. Remember what Christ said before he was crucified? He said, greater works than these shall ye do because I go unto my Father, right? And when he went to his Father, he sent the Holy Spirit to us. Back then, the world only had to deal with Jesus Christ healing people, performing miracles, and setting the captives free. But then they had to deal with, then later on they had to deal with the 70. But after Pentecost, now the world has to deal with each and every one of us with the power of the Holy Spirit within us. And as we believe to act on the power and activate the power that's within us, the world will see more of the power of God in the world. And that is what's going to testify and witness of Jesus Christ to them and bring them into the body as we perform signs, miracles, and wonders.
That's a mighty power that each and every one of us has. That's outstanding. If I could get Dr. Susie to read John 3:16-21 and give me her thoughts in regard to respect of the love of God.
This is Dr. Susie, and I'm reading John 3:16. And I'm going to speak to you regarding the love of God. For this is how God loved the world. He gave his one and only Son, that so everyone who believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. And this is a really, really, really important sermon. It's probably the best, the most precious scripture in the entire Bible, because it shares about the love of God. And, you know, at this time of the year, it's really important because we're out, you know, many people are out right now shopping for Christmas gifts and trying to figure out what it is that they need to purchase. And we all have these wonderful ideas of what's the greatest gift you could ever give, you know, but the question is, do we measure that by this value? Do we judge it by its worth, by its size, by its weight, by its cost, or by the sacrifice that it takes to obtain it? And I think what's really important is that we see that God's gift to the world was God's Son, which is the entire reason for Christmas. It's the love of God. God loved us so much that God came down from heaven as a baby. And this baby, of course, was the creator of the universe. This baby was the Son of God. This baby was the Savior of all humanity. And so we have God coming to the world so that we can learn to trust God and to love God back. And this is amazing because this is the incarnation, when God became one of us, a human being, so that we could understand what God is really like. You know, it doesn't say God has love, but that God is love, and that is, you know, God's gift to us during this Christmas time and every day of the year. He gave his one and only Son. Christ is a gift, and God offered that gift by sending his Son.
So what do you say to those who in today's world say that the way we celebrate Christ, we understand that that Christ gave his only Son, but we celebrate, our way of celebrating Christ and the season of giving is just like the wise men gave gifts to Jesus when he was born, that we give gifts to show our love. Does that truly represent the love that Christ would have us demonstrate, or is that something else?
This is Eric. I think that's something else, and the reason I say that is because when we look at what the wise men did, they are wise because they understood what Christ's birth meant. They were looking to his death. They were looking to not have to be separated, that he was going to be a sacrifice for us. And at this time of year, we look at the little babe and we, you know, drool and, oh, how pretty. But I don't think we truly understand at this part of the season what that gift really means. So we're just going out trying to say, oh, well, you know, let me show you how much I care for you, or let me show you that you mean something to me. So I'm going to buy you this, or I'm going to buy you that, or I'm going to do this because that's what I'm expected to do. I mean, I was listening to a show the other day and I was talking about, well, do you get a gift somebody if you've only known them 3 weeks? Well, who cares? And if I just met them 3 weeks before Christmas, what does that mean? Me getting them that gift doesn't show that I'm willing to die for them like Christ was willing to die for all mankind. And so I think it's something else because we don't look far enough into what Christ's birth meant. We do not fathom that.
This is Dr. Susie, and what that as Eric is saying, what that gift means is that when we get a gift, we have to understand that a gift is free. This is not something that costs you something, and specifically in this case, the gift of Christ was free. You can't earn it. You can't buy it. Christ already took care of that on the cross when he said he paid for our gift. We had that free gift, and when he was hanging on the cross, he said, it is finished. He didn't say, I'm finished, because he's here today. He's alive today. He said it, meaning our salvation. And the plan to provide grace for every person is finished. Romans 3:24 says the free gift of God's grace makes all of us right with him. Jesus Christ paid the price to set us free. And if we truly understand this gift of love, this agapeo, the agape gift, gift of love, then we would truly understand that it is free. But as a gift, you have to receive it. And if you don't receive it, there's only two choices. You accept or reject. So.
Well, if I can't give a gift.
But we have people today, Mark, that, I mean, I've been in a situation where I gave a gift to someone, they didn't want it. You know, they didn't take it. They said, well, you know, no thank you. Or when they opened it, I don't really like that.
You make an interesting point because, and this is Lester Carver, you make an interesting point because God has given us the free gift of his Holy Spirit. And just like you can give a gift and not receive it, or receive a gift and not receive it, you can receive a gift and not use it, right? So if God said, I gave you a new car and it has a working battery in it, here are the keys, and we choose not to get in and turn on the ignition. We choose not to turn on the radio. We choose not to put it in drive. We choose not to turn the lights on, right? We are neglecting the free gift of this new car, right? So it is with the power of the Holy Spirit. We have been given the gift of the Comforter, the Holy Spirit within us, the teacher, our guide, right? And yet, so many of us refuse to operate in the power of that Holy Spirit through speaking in tongues, interpretation of tongues, prophecy, word of knowledge, word of wisdom, discerning the Spirit, faith, miracles, and gifts of healing. We do not operate the power of the gift. And it says in Romans, and actually in Acts 1:8, that power was given to us so that we could be witnesses of Jesus Christ throughout the entire world. But if we've been given a gift and we choose not to operate it, then is that not the same as rejecting the gift itself?
And that's what I'm saying. You can't operate it if you don't accept it. You've got to accept it. This is Dr. Susie. You've got to first accept the gift, because once the gift is accepted, then you're endowed with the Holy Spirit, with the gifts, all the, that the gift the Holy Spirit gives. But you have to accept the gift first. It's temporal. We don't
Amen.
Accept the gift, and that's first. We have to do that. And so the question is, you know, when we have a gift under the tree, you know, do we sit there and shake the box, look in it, and then decide, I don't know if I want to open it? How important is the gift? And we have to make that value for each of ourselves individually. We have to decide what we want.
So then my question goes, and I think it was a great point that was brought out in regard to acceptance of that gift. And if we accept that gift, do we operate in that gift? But then my question goes is, so what do I do to demonstrate love for my family, for my friends, to demonstrate that I want to show others the love of Christ? I can't die on the cross like Jesus did.
Well,
so what can I do to demonstrate my love?
This is Dr. Susan.
I'd love to.
The best thing we can do is to share with our family the gift of Jesus Christ. That's the best and the first thing that we need to do is to make sure that all of our loved ones and people that we know and care about understand that this free gift is available. All they got to do is receive it, especially those of us who have family. We're out trying to figure out, well, do I need to give a diamond ring? Do I need to give some clothes? I mean, we have to make a decision here. Will clothes get you eternal life? Because that's what it says in this text. It says that he sent his son so that they will not perish but have eternal life. And I don't think we fully understand that eternal life is not just that long-term living your life, but Revelation tells us that God will be with us and living with us. He will be living with all of humanity. And so what makes eternity special is that we are in relationship with God. We begin to grow into love, and that becomes such a fulfilled existence because we are with God. And that's what makes eternity that imperishable and this awesomeness.
Lester Carver here. One of the things I wanted to point out that you really did mention is in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 31, it tells, or 30 and 31, it tells us to covet the best gifts, right? And what's interesting is what that verse is actually referring to is not the gift of the Holy Spirit, but it's referring to the operations of that gift as it pertains to their ministering to the needs of the body of Christ, right? So when we talk about the need to give a gift and why would God tell us to covet the best gifts? What he's telling us is that we are to identify the needs in the body of Christ and meet those needs as we believe to operate the power within us. So if we see that in the body of Christ there is a lack of teaching, and God has given us the desire to teach, we're to go teach. If God has allowed us to identify the need for people to have a pastor to make their financial, physical, mental, spiritual, emotional needs met, then we see that need, we meet that need, the desire to help people manifest the Holy Spirit. That is something that, you know, we become useful, and we activate that power within us, and we become the gift to the body of Christ and meet the needs of the whole body. And that's why we are to desire what God desires, is for the body of Christ to function as one and operate in the fullness of power.
Amen.
So, Brother Mark, amen. Doc Susie, all that's great. So let me see if I can make this simple for our listeners who may be having some trouble with this, because if I don't know who Christ is and I can't see Christ in the people that's around me, I'm not going to get to know Christ. Now, let's just be real about that, because I don't know that.
Amen.
So, Brother Mark, here is a simple version, I think, of what showing others, family and friends, that we love them. When you got to go to work in the morning, for you brothers and sisters that live in the north, when that snow get ready to come, and you got to go out there and you got to get ready to go to work and warm your car and clean the snow off, clean your wife's car off, too, before she has to go out there and get in there. Don't make her do it. You do it. You're already out there. When your wife has come home and she's worked all day and she started a load of laundry, go ahead and put the clothes in the dryer so they can get done. If you know she's had a bad day and you get home early, go ahead and start dinner so that's one less thing that she has to worry about. The best way that we can show others that we love them is that when we know that there are things that would help them, that we can give of ourselves to do that, and it doesn't put us out and make us feel like we're being imposed upon.
Amen.
Amen.
We're going to continue and go to Romans 8:18-30. If anyone has that, if they could read that for me.
What were those scriptures again?
Romans 8:18-30.
18-30. Yet what we suffer now is nothing compared to the glory he will reveal to us later. For all creation is waiting eagerly for that future day when God will reveal who his children really are. Against its will, all creation was subject to God's curse, but with eager hope. The creation looks forward to the day when it will join God's children in glorious freedom from death and decay. For we know that all creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up to this present time. And believers also groan, even though we have the Holy Spirit within us as a foretaste of future glory. For we long for our bodies to be released from sin and suffering. We too wait with eager hope for the day when God will give us our full rights as his adopted children, including the new bodies he has promised us. We were given this hope when we were saved. If we already have something, we don't need to hope for it. But if we look forward to something we don't have yet, we must wait patiently in confidence. And the Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness. For example, we don't know what God wants us to pray for, but the Holy Spirit prays for us with groanings that cannot be expressed in words. And the Father, who knows all hearts, knows what the Spirit is saying. For the Spirit pleads for us believers in harmony with God's own will. And we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose for them. For God knew his people in advance, and he chose them to become like his son, so that his son would be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. And having chosen them, he called them to come to him. And having called them, he gave them right standing with himself. And having given them right standing, he gave them his glory.
Amen.
Give me a couple of examples how God demonstrates his love to us.
This is Eric. Well, he's demonstrated to me because I'm still walking this earth, knowing what I have been, what I'm capable of being, and only by his grace and by his son am I still here. So he demonstrates his love to me, being able to provide me and to be clothed in my right mind, to have reasonable portion of health and strength, even given some of the things I did when I was young and dumb. He's provided me his grace and being able to have an opportunity to be on this line to talk to y'all this evening, because that didn't have to be. I know I could have, I should have left this world a few years ago, many, many years ago, actually.
Next month.
So, yeah, he demonstrates his love every day. He allows me to see another day that I can praise and glorify him for doing that. And in every day in my devotion, in my prayer life, I ask this question: how can a sinner like me serve a righteous God? And the truth is, I can't, except through Jesus Christ.
Amen. Can someone else give me what their thoughts of God's love through the scriptures? The scripture speaks of the first fruits of the Spirit. Can someone speak to that?
Well, is everybody else on mute?
No, the fruit of the Spirit being
Hello?
Love, right? And yeah, we're oh, this is Sean.
Hello?
Speak, Sean.
No, that's not me. No, go ahead, Justin.
Okay, all right, here. All right, love is a fruit of the Spirit. That is true. As we operate the power of the Holy Spirit in our life, we produce love, joy, peace, gentleness, meekness, kindness, patience, faithfulness, and self-control as fruit of the Spirit. And love is at the forefront of that. The other thing that God says about love is that all that we do for him, if we do it without love, then it's meaningless, pointless. We will not receive a reward for it. We are wasting our time. So all things that we do must be done in love, and that is the love of God in the renewed mind in manifestation. So that love is to the benefit of others as we renew our mind to the Word of God, as it says in 1 Corinthians 13, I believe. And the thing is, we have to get to the point where we adjust our thinking so that everything we do is for God to the benefit of others. And that is the kind of love mindset God is asking us to walk in daily.
This is Eric. And let me add this. I absolutely agree, Brother Carver. And I also would add this. Is that by loving others, it is a benefit to God. Because God doesn't need our love. God already proved that he loved us. So God has all the love that he needs. But what God can benefit from is for us showing love to those folks who we walk with among every day. And they seeing in us a difference that says, what's different about you? And we can say, it is the love of God that is in me that allows me to do those things that I do. And it's only his love. I'm not asking to benefit from it. It is God's love that is in me because I realize that he first loved me while I was yet still a sinner.
Well, this is Dr. Susie, and one of the things I want to add to that is I kind of agree with some of the stuff or all of the stuff plus some. And what the plus is that there's a legend that says that when Jesus died and he went back to heaven and they were talking to the angels and they said, so how did it go? He says, well, it's finished. And then it says, do all the people in the world know about you? And he says, no. He says, then what's the plan? He says, I left things in charge with 12 people, 12 men and some followers. And he says, and the angels looked at each other and they looked at Jesus and they looked down at the earth and they looked at each other again and they said, what's plan B? But the reality is
B, C, D, E, N, F.
Jesus put all the eggs in one basket with us. And the number one goal of the church is discipleship. And the number one gift that can be given is the gift of eternal life through his son, Jesus Christ. So we have to understand the power of the task at hand, further sharing the story and manifesting the love so that people will desire the love of Christ and eternal life. So if God needs us, what God needs us to do is to carry the message of love, is to make disciples and have people understand truly the message of the babe, of the love of the babe. And if we don't do that, if we focus everything on a gift, if we focus everything on something commercial, a Christmas tree, a dinner, a family coming around, that's wonderful. But in the midst of all of that, the center is supposed to be the love of God. So we need to be telling our young people, our children, not just sitting up here watching Santa Claus is coming to town, but we need to be telling our little folks, our young children, our grandkids, our kids, what is the true meaning of Christmas. And I have to tell you, I was in church, and the church that I'm serving, and one of the elderly people sat down with a chair, and he was reading a book, and I thought he was going to tell a Christmas story about the baby Jesus. I'm sitting here, and he starts to sing, he starts to read The Night Before Christmas. And then at the end, when he finished, the last thing he said was, "We're worshiping Jesus." And he's like 20 minutes doing The Night Before Christmas, and a second saying, "We're worshiping Jesus." And so for me, that's backwards. And that's teaching our children what's important is the commercialism. What we need to be teaching is that Jesus is the reason for the season. And if we don't do that in our behavior, and with our verbiage, with our voice, we have to do it with our action. And we have to start with us. And we need to be telling our story. We need to be sharing the good news.
Amen. Amen. I truly believe that Dr. Susan is speaking up. Do we have someone else who want to make a comment?
You know, Mark, one more thing. Is it really the good news? And that's why I wonder, because if it's really the good news to you, you know, I've been around Christians that are new Christians. They're contagious. They can't hold it in. They got to tell everybody. But, I mean, here are those of us who have been Christians for years. Are we excited still about the babe and the coming of the king, the second coming? We need to be telling people the good news and excited about, especially at this season. And as Eric said, it shouldn't just be Christmas time, but it should be every day.
Amen.
Well, you know, one of the things I think a lot of people ask themselves, they read the scriptures and they say, you know, I think I'm called according to his purpose. You know, I think that I love Jesus. And I think that if I live a certain way, that all things that God does will work for the benefit of me, because I love him and I'm called according to his purpose. But I look at my life and, you know, my husband died. You know, my boyfriend left me. My house is gone. I can't find a job. The people at the church won't even speak to me. And my pastor won't even say hello. But so where's the love? So where's the love? That's my question. Where's the love? Is that, you know, I think that some people out there are hurting, and they see it in the scripture that God loves me, but they don't see it in the natural. So how do I as that person who may be going through the death of a person, or the person who leaves them, or the person who hasn't been that friend, or that person or that circumstance, how do I recognize that God loves me? I may even be thinking of suicide today, because this is a season that, you know, people, you know, do different things, and they don't know where to go, and they may not know whether to turn to left or right. So somebody speak to me to let me know that Jesus still loves me.
This is Sean. And this is just my opinion, okay? Mm-hmm. So God gives life. Only God can give life. Only God can give life. So your very existence, as Eric alluded to earlier, the fact that you're here, that you're alive, is God's love for you. Because when life leaves your body, when he's done, you're done. That's it. You know what I'm saying? So that's, first of all, he's demonstrating his love for you by keeping you here and allowing you to have the good things that you do have, whatever the blessings they may be, whether it's a meal, to be here today, to have clothes, to have heat, whatever, whatever to survive is the blessing of God on your life. That alone is his demonstrating his love for you. In terms of, you know, like you said, this season, a lot of people get depressed. It's so important, you know, kind of stepping back a little bit, what Dr. Susie was saying. First of all, you have to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. That's the beginning. He said those, you know, you have to confess his word. When you, in that moment, you say Jesus is my Lord and Savior, then, yes, you've accepted him. At that point, your spiritual relationship with him is really starting, and it grows and builds from there. But first, you have to accept him. Now, how it grows and builds is that you have to talk to him. So in those moments, for example, when it, like this season, I'm an example for this. For example, this past weekend, I was feeling down and depressed a little bit. I woke up. I just felt down when I woke up. And it's because I've been going through my stuff. A lot of you know what my stuff is. I've been looking for a job. I've had my struggles. I've had my issues. But I just woke up in this and felt just kind of down, and I hadn't even got out of bed yet. And so my testimony in that is this. In that moment, I laid there in the bed, and I prayed to God. I said, Lord, I don't feel like being down and depressed today. I do not want to be down and depressed. I just said it just that simple. I could feel it in me. And I just spoke to him about it, and he took that from me. So that's what having a relationship with God will do for you. So first you accept him as your Lord and Savior. Then you pray to him. You have a relationship with him. And so whatever your circumstances or situation may be, whatever the need may be, then you reach out to him, and he will provide it for you because he loves you. That's the simplest way for me to make it plain for anybody who's out there listening in this season. So it's not about the gifts. It's not about not having enough money for all the people you want to buy gifts for or whatever. You say, Lord, who, you know, what is my purpose, Lord? What, you know, you knew me before the foundation of the earth. So you tell me, who do you want me to serve? Where do you want me to serve? And who do you want me to serve it to? So, and that's the same for your money. You know, he will tell you, okay, you only got whatever it is, and he'll tell you the certain people that you need to buy for. You might not be able to buy for 100 people, but those 100 people may not have need for you to buy for them. He's going to provide them through other people. So you have to have a relationship with God, and he will answer and meet whatever need and answer whatever prayer you may have.
Amen, Sister Sean. Amen.
Amen. Well, I hear what she's saying, but I've been praying. Go ahead.
This is Dr. Susie, and one of the things I wanted to remind us about,
hey, Mark.
And that is,
This is Sandra Carver.
Hey Sandra, how are you doing? Could you hold up for one second? I want to hear what you want to say. I want to have
okay.
Dr. Susie finish, and then I want to hear what you'd like to
okay,
say.
Okay, I didn't hear because we were trading phones.
All right, thank you, Sandra. Hold on one second. Go ahead, Dr. Susie.
I think one of the things that is important during this time, as Sean was saying, and as you invited us to talk about, and that is understanding that the Bible tells us that. That the game in which the enemy plays is in our mind. It says he acts like a roaring lion going to and fro to seek whom he may devour. And when a lion roars, when a lion is trying to take over the prey, he roars loud to disorient, to confuse. And the enemy clouds our mind. That's the battleground. It says we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and wickedness in high places. And so we need to understand during this season that the enemy will use any and everything around us to get our minds confused, clouded. Depression is one of them. Anything that is going to keep us down and unable to experience the joy of the Lord. And again, we have to be cognizant of this, because we have the power through our relationship with Jesus Christ, if we have that relationship, to tell the enemy that no weapon formed against me shall prosper. The greater is he who is in me than in the world. And what we have to do is recognize fact versus truth. Truth says no weapon formed against me shall prosper. Fact is I may be depressed and think that's fact. But truth says no weapon formed against me shall prosper. We have to operate to walk in the truth. And the truth is the word of God, and the truth will set you free. So you have to invest by spending time in the word of God. So my suggestion for anybody who might struggle during this time is to pick up the word of God and to start to read, and the enemy will flee. If you pick up the word of God and start to let the word see through you, then God will bless you and will lift you up. As you begin to understand and hear God's word, he'll speak to you. God will speak to you through the word of God and empower you to break that yoke of the enemy. And that's just what I was saying as a suggestion for those. And if you don't have a relationship with God, tonight all we have to do, we're asking you, is just to open up your heart and speak to the Lord and say, Lord, we understand that we want a relationship with you. We want you to come into our lives. We want to verbalize that we want to accept you as our personal Savior, and that we believe in Jesus the Christ, that he died and was born and was resurrected on the third day for our sins. And all we have to do is accept and confess, believe in our heart that Christ was raised from the dead, and it shall be. And it shall be.
Amen. Amen. Sandra Carver, you had a comment.
Thank you. I was thinking about the subject of it all being about love, and that in John 3:16 you were sharing, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish and have everlasting life. Well, that everlasting life includes what his calling for us says in 2 Corinthians 5:14. It starts out, for the love of Christ constraineth us, because we then judge one died for all, we're all dead, and that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live for themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Wherefore henceforth know no man after the flesh. Though we know are known of Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more after the flesh. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. And old things are passed away, behold, all things are become new, and all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. That's the act of love, the ministry of reconciliation. To the wit that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled unto God. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we may be made the righteousness of God in him. That was the complete gift of love. God made us the righteousness of himself through Christ Jesus. Now, we reconcile ourselves to that truth so that we can speak that truth and reconcile others to him. That's our gift of love, to reconcile the world back to God. That's what Jesus Christ came for, to reconcile, to undo the sin that Adam did. And it's our continuing job through Jesus Christ to reconcile the world back to God through Jesus Christ. That is what the gift of love is. And as we do the word and reconcile others to Christ, we are manifesting the love in every way that God has equipped us to.
Though we recognize that the act of love is reconciling others to Christ, is that the only act of love that we can demonstrate? Number one. Number two, I can be that one that says you're going to hell unless you recognize that Jesus was born and died, and you must accept him. Is there a way that I should even go about trying to act upon reconciling those to Christ?
Well, it's not about acting. It's about action. And God said, just like he did to Jeremiah. Jeremiah said, I cannot speak, for I am but a child. And God said, don't say to me, I am a child, for I have called you before you were in your mother's womb. And you shall speak, and I will put my word in your mouth, and you will say what I tell you to say. That's where the confidence to speak the word is, that knowing when you open your mouth that God is speaking through you, because it's Christ in you, the hope of glory, the power of God in you. It's not a separate function from who you are. We have
All
to
right.
stop separating and segregating our life and thinking that God is a separate part from who you are. Once you were bought by the blood of Jesus Christ and you confessed him as your Lord, you belong to God. It's Christ in you, the hope of glory, it says in 2 Colossians. He's in us and he's working in us to will and to do of his good pleasure. When we open our mouths, his good pleasure is what is accomplished.
So what do we,
hey,
so man, what do
this is Eric, and sister is right. Sister Carver is absolutely right. But what about those folks who out there who are struggling because they're not sure that they're hearing from folks who have the Spirit of God in them? Because not everybody that's going to speak to them may not have that Spirit of God, and that's where you reading and asking for prayer and asking God to come into your life and developing that authentic relationship with God. Because God knows when your relationship is built on authenticity, not just, you know, oh, well, I'm in trouble and I need you. You know, I need you to help me, or, you know, I got a bill due, or I'm sick and all of that. I mean, you've got to be sure, and you've got to be open to building that relationship. And so, I mean, I think that's key.
Be reconciled unto God. You be reconciled so you can reconcile others.
And this is Dr. Shuti, and the reality is all of the things we've been talking tonight are phenomenal. But I do want to get back to one real question, an Eric Jefferson question, is that, so your wife wants a diamond ring, and your kids want a PX, what is it, PX1? What's the new one? And they want an Xbox.
It don't matter.
Listen,
yeah.
And they want
PS5, X12.
There it is. And the reality is this. How do we realistically understand to see, it's clear to me that as our relationship with the Lord vertically is in line, so should our relationship would be with the people in our lives, you know, horizontally. How do we give during this season to make sure that it's not commercial, not commercialized, but we're giving out of our hearts because we want to give a gift out of the love and because we have the funds and we want to make our families happy, you know, give them a little something, and keep the thing balanced. How do we do that? And I'm saying this so that it's 7:55, and I want the radio audience out there tonight to know if it is okay to bless your family with gifts. But how do we do that to balance things so that we can have the true understanding of the reason for the season as we give? How do we do that?
This is Eric. I think one of the ways is that, first of all, if you can't afford that stuff, don't go buy it. That's the first thing. And be honest enough to have that conversation with your family is that while if I was in the position to be able to afford that stuff for you, I would do that because I do love you. But because I don't, I'm going to get you the things that I know that you need. But most assuredly, it is having the conversation within a family structure about what this season means. Not letting it be commercialized, not letting, you know, the Macy's and everybody jack it away from you, but being able to have that conversation and to show that through this season as well as all year.
Amen.
Yeah.
Is there any others? Let me get some more
feedback on that, Brother Mark, if you can. Brother Lester, come on, I want to hear what you got to say. How are you handling this with your wife and children?
Well, Christmas has always been a test for a father with a wife and six kids. But now that all of my kids are grown, I had to adjust my mindset about what Christmas is and to allow them to just appreciate our presence and to just allow us to focus on the blessing of being able to love God together and spend that time during the holiday together and prepare for that so that it's a good day. So everybody is getting ready to cook the Christmas dinner and create a nice environment, et cetera.
You said you don't have any grandchildren?
Yeah, I have a grandson, but he's more than spoiled. He's going to get stuff from everywhere.
Uh-huh. And my point, Brother Lester, was I was asking you, how do you handle gift-giving? Because I know you buy some for your grandson, and I know you buy some for your wife. So, back to the question.
Are you sure about that?
No, I'm not. But I know somewhere you're getting something that may not be a financial gift.
We have quite a few self-employed people on this line. And so we know how cash flow is. It can be feast and famine. So I'll tell you that I personally am released to give my gift at any given time.
Amen.
And it doesn't have to land on Christmas Day.
Yeah, and that's
amen.
We really shouldn't get caught up in it. We shouldn't allow the world, because they're the ones determining this thing. You say they make it commercial. It's only commercial as we buy into it and allow ourselves to be exploited. If we're to be reconciled, we're to separate ourselves and make judgments, good judgment, and discern it. And we buy for those because God put it on our heart. We might give a gift to the family, you know? And it still shows your love. You try to get
amen.
A gift for every person. You're putting yourself, it's sinful that people end up not being able to pay their rent and their electric and their gas bill in January because they gave what they didn't have to give. It's wrong. And
amen.
It should be people.
That's exactly.
You're obligated to give what you do not have. It's wrong.
Amen. That's exactly what Brother Eric was saying, is that don't go out and spend your funds. And when you kneel, you need to pay your water, light, and gas bill and your rent. But, you know, we forget that we can make gifts. I remember my mother used to crochet things like holders for your toilet tissue, napkins and placemats, and you can make stuff. I mean, you can make the cutest little things. And so sometimes if we remember, a gift does not always have to be a Macy's $500, $6,000 ring. It can be a gift that you make or share just to show that you thought about someone. So, I mean, there's all kind of creative things that we can do that come from the heart.
Yeah.
But,
it comes from the heart that way.
Exactly. Yeah. Brother Mark, did you have one more question before we go to...
I had one more question. I don't know if we have time because it's 7:59. Are we going over our time?
Yes.
I had one more question in going along with what we were saying in regard to priorities. How do we change our priorities? How do we change our priorities to get away from the commercialization, to get away from, you know, recognizing that, you know, or to get more toward recognizing that Jesus is the reason for the season? How do we, you know, because it's there, and I'll tell you, it's very difficult. I remember when my child was younger, and I told my wife at the time, I said, we should go a Christmas without getting any gifts for our child. And my wife said to me, well, your child may not receive any gifts, but my child will receive a lot of gifts. So the mindset, even though I wanted to kind of demonstrate, you know, Jesus is the true reason for the season, it becomes very difficult. So how in practical terms can we change the mindset of our families to move away from this commercialization?
You know, this is Dr. Susie, and I want to reiterate one thing that Brother Eric said. He said, communicate. We need to have families who are willing to communicate. And that means that you have to understand the financial status that you are in. And it's also teaching our children good stewardship. You know, we have to be accountable and responsible to teach as well as to model how to not be indebted, but debt-free, and be able to enjoy a holiday without going out and incurring lots of debt that, you know, you can't pay for.
This is Bless the Property. I have an interesting idea. Is if you think about what most people do, they have a Christmas fund, and they're saving all year to buy stuff during Christmas. If they simply use those funds that are available throughout the year and bless the people in their household as they can throughout the year, then when people are together during the Christmas holiday, they can really be together and focused on being together as opposed to what they're going to get during Christmas. And if you remind one another of the great gifts that you receive from one another during the year, then it becomes a real celebration because, you know, none of us are guaranteed to be here next Christmas.
This is Sean. I think also it's kind of like what everyone's saying, you need to communicate. First of all, you need a foundation. You need to, you have the truth of the foundation, okay, which with that being understood, okay, make sure everybody knows the truth about God and Jesus Christ and all of that. So that's the foundation that will help with this whole process. And that's obviously reiterated throughout the year. Then you communicate, as a lot of you have said, in terms of family, you know, responsibility, financial responsibilities, and that type of thing. And then I think you go from there, you go to, like Dr. Susie said, you can be creative. I mean, I know I have friends that, and I'm not saying you have to do this. I'm just saying there's different ways of how do you want to spend the money, the pool of money, for example. So I have friends that they don't do gifts, but they do a family vacation at Christmas. I don't know how many of you have looked into this, but I'm just saying as an example, at Christmas time, you can get a really cheap cruise, for example. You know what I'm saying? And people think that's a lot of money. It's not. You know what I'm saying? So let's say the family has, I don't know, I'm just saying maybe $500 or something or whatever to spend. You know, you can do a nice cruise or something, or you can take the money and say, okay, buy a family gift. Maybe it's a flat screen TV, you know, if everybody can share in that. It's different things. You can create, make gifts and that type of thing. And then also you can do things like for each other. So I think someone said something to the fact of, you know, cooking dinner for your wife for a month. Okay, there's a lot of women would love that. I mean, that goes beyond one day. You know what I'm saying? A woman, you know, she comes home from work and she don't have to think about cooking or doing the grocery shopping or something like that for a month or something, or a husband, you know, whatever his hobby is, like maybe it's Sunday football or something. I don't know. I'm just saying where he has that one day of peace where, honey, where no one's going to disturb you that day. You know, I'm going to keep the kids and everybody away from you. You can just sit in your cave and just do whatever you want for that day for, you know what I'm saying? So it may not cost you anything, you know, or running someone bath water, you know, just pampering them. You know what I'm saying? So those are inexpensive, but yet be creative. That doesn't cost a lot of money, and, you know, you can do that for each other. And most people that I know would really appreciate that. You know, just that alone means a lot.
Amen.
Amen, amen. Amen. But we thank you all for participating and speaking about the love of Christ and how we demonstrate the love of Christ. And I hope everyone that's on the line, those around the United States, around the world, can really take to heart, you know, some of the things that we've talked about, whether it be speaking your truth versus, you know, dealing with the fact or the circumstance, speaking truth that Jesus has placed in your life, as well as having that acceptance of God and developing that relationship. If you develop that relationship with God, it changes everything of how you view as well as your circumstance. Recognizing always, even recognizing that Jesus is the reason for this season, and we'd like to, you know, take this time to celebrate and enjoy our families. We want to wish everyone a happy Merry Christmas and a wonderful New Year. Thank you all for joining us this evening.
Thank you. Brother Eric, are you on the line? Brother Eric?
He may be on mute. But I want to take this time on behalf of those, Dr. Susie, and I'm going to turn this back to her to say thank you all for this year. Thank you all for participating and blessing each other and demonstrating our love to each other.
Amen.
Truly all have been a blessing to me, and we look forward to next year and all the promises that God has given to us. I'm going to turn this program back over to our director, Dr. Susie.
Hi, thank you, Mark. Lester, if you will close us out in prayer tonight after we get the praise concerns and praise reports. Does anyone have a praise report? I just ask for travel mercies on the holiday season as we are all driving around and preparing to visit family and friends. There are other praise reports or prayer concerns. Lift up President Barack Obama and his family and our country as we're preparing for this election time and this new season.
This is Sean. I have a prayer request. I have a friend. Her mom is sick in the hospital. Her name is Ruth Cragen. And I don't know the circumstances, but I just know she called me last night, you know, panicking about her mom, and she's a believer, and I just had to remind her that Jesus is a healer. So, and I told her that, you know, that I'd be coming to Bible study tonight, and that we were lifting her up in prayer. So I just ask that we would lift her up, and also I pray and ask safe travel for all of us during the holiday season. I know I will be on the road coming to visit my family in a couple of days and back and forth, mm-hmm. So I'm sure a lot of us will be doing that. So I just, you know, ask for prayer for that as well.
Also ask to lift up Danielle Eccleston. She is in the hospital. And also those who spending Christmas alone, the homeless and the poor, and those who are hungry, that they would be able to find places to eat for this season and not be alone, that we could lift up prayers for them. Any other prayer requests?
This is Brent. Keep me in your prayers Thursday as I conduct a marriage. My daughter-in-law's youngest son is getting married, and him and his fiancée are both in the military, and I want you to please keep my family in mind on Christmas Eve as we conduct this marriage ceremony, and I'm going to be administering to them the sacraments as a couple. It'll be their first time taking communion. So just pray with me and be with me in spirit.
Amen.
We also would ask to lift up the Bible study. Brother Eric Justison will be leading in January as we begin to pray for and prepare for the new year. Any other things, Brother Esther, if you could close us out in prayer?
Heavenly Father, I thank you today for traveling mercies for all who are on the road visiting their family and friends. I thank you for your hedge of protection being about them, for your angels encamped about them. I thank you for their confidence and focus being on you, and for them being alert and knowing when to rest and when to move. Father, I thank you for President Obama and his family and his cabinet. I thank you for his administration,
yes,
being able to follow through with the great initiatives that they put forth. I thank you for the cooperation of Congress to the best of their ability so that we can get much done. Father, I thank you for this election season, for people being able to discuss their points of view and to get a more informed position as to how to advance the interests of the United States and the world. I thank you for giving people a heart for education, for health care, for social services, for the elderly, for those who do not have. I thank you for the old, the young, and the weak being cared for during this time within the church and without the church. God, I thank you for Sean's friend, Ruth Creighton. I thank you for you touching her body right now. I thank you for you giving her peace. I thank you for surrounding her with friends and family to encourage her. I thank you for the healthcare professionals being led by your ability that you place within them to exercise the absolute best care for her. Father, I thank you for Danielle Elfelton. I thank you for your hedge of protection. And I thank you for just blessing that individual greatly, God. Father, I thank you for you being with the lonely and the homeless and the poor and the hungry and the widows today, God. Father, I thank you for Britt's family. I thank you for the marriage ceremony. I thank you for that family taking communion and for them being blessed by you greatly. I thank you for the Bible study, this Bible study, the Love Connection Bible study in 2016, and I thank you for it being a great year and for us expecting to see you operate powerfully in our midst. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, amen.
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 Thanks for listening to Your Place Love Connection, your place of prayer, love, acceptance, compassion, and empowerment.